This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents The Crown by Kira Cass, performed by Brittany Presley. Chapter 1.
I'm sorry, I said, bracing myself for the inevitable backlash. When my selection started, I'd pictured it ending this way, with dozens of my suitors leaving at a time. Many of them unprepared for their moment in the spotlight to be over. But after the last few weeks, after learning how kind, how smart, how generous so many of them were, I found the mass elimination almost heartbreaking. They'd been fair with me, and now I had to be very unfair to them. The live announcement would make the elimination official, and they all had to wait until then. I know it's abrupt, but given my mother's precarious condition, my father has asked me to take on more responsibilities, and I feel the only way to manage that is to scale down this competition.
How is the Queen?
Hale asked, swallowing hard. I sighed. She looks pretty bad. Dad had been hesitant to let me visit her, but I had finally worn him down. I understood his reluctance the instant I saw her. Asleep, the metronome of her heartbeat keeping time on the monitor. She'd just come out of surgery, where the doctors had to harvest a vein from her leg to replace the one in her chest that had been worked to death. One of the doctors said they had lost her for a minute, but managed to get her back. I sat beside her, holding her hand. Silly as it sounded, I had slouched in my chair, certain that would make her come to and correct my posture. It didn't. She's alive, though, and my father, he's... Raoul placed a comforting hand on my shoulder.
It's okay, Your Highness. We all understand.
I let my eyes flit across the space, my gaze settling on each of my suitors for a breath, as I committed their faces to memory. For the record, I was terrified of you, I confessed. There were a few chuckles around the room. Thank you so much for taking this chance, and for being so gracious with me. A guard entered, clearing his throat to announce his presence.
I'm sorry, my lady. It's nearly time for the broadcast. The crew wanted to check,
He made a fumbling gesture with his hand.
Hair and stuff.
I nodded. Thank you. I'll be ready in a moment. After he left, I turned my attention back to the boys. I hope you'll forgive me for this group goodbye. I wish you all the best of luck in the future. There was a chorus of murmured goodbyes as I left. Once I was outside the doors of the men's parlor, I took a deep breath and prepared myself for what was coming. You are Edelyn Shreve, and no one, literally, no one, is as powerful as you. The palace was eerily quiet without Mom and her ladies scuttling around and Aaron's laughter filling the halls. Nothing makes you quite so aware of a person's presence as the loss of it. I held myself tall as I made my way down to the studio. Your Highness, several people greeted me as I came through the doorway, curtsying and moving out of my way, all the while avoiding looking directly in my eyes. I couldn't tell if it was out of sympathy or if they already knew. Oh, I said, glancing in the mirror. I am a bit shiny. Could you? Of course, Your Highness. A girl expertly dabbed at my skin, covering me in powder. I straightened the high lace collar of my gown. When I'd gotten dressed this morning, black seemed appropriate, considering the overall mood in the palace. But I was second-guessing myself. I look too serious, I worried aloud. Not respectable serious, but worried serious. This is all wrong. You look beautiful, my lady. The makeup girl swept a fresh splash of color across my lips. Like your mother. No, I don't, I lamented. Not a stitch of her hair or skin or eyes. That's not what I mean. The girl, warm and round, with wisps of curls falling across her forehead, stood beside me and gazed at my reflection. See there? She said, pointing to my eyes. Not the same color, but the same determination. And your lips, they have the same hopeful smile. I know you have your grandmother's coloring, but you're your mother's daughter through and through. I stared at myself. I could almost see what she meant. At this most isolating moment, I felt a little less alone. Thank you. That means a great deal to me. We're all praying for her, my lady. She's a tough one. I giggled in spite of my mood. That she is.
2 minutes,
the floor director called. I walked on to the carpeted set, smoothing out my gown and touching my hair. The studio was colder than usual, even under the lights, and goosebumps prickled at my skin as I took my place behind the lone podium. Gavril, slightly dressed down but still very polished, gave me a sympathetic smile as he approached.
Are you sure you want to do this? I'm happy to deliver the news for you.
Thank you, but I think I have to do it on my own.
All right, then. How's she holding up?
Okay, as of an hour ago. The doctors are keeping her asleep so she can heal. But she looks so battered. I closed my eyes for a moment, calming myself. Sorry, this has me a bit on edge, but at least I'm managing better than Dad. He shook his head.
I can't imagine anyone taking this worse than him. His whole world has hung on her since they met.
I thought back to last night, to the wall of photos in their room, and I thumbed through all the details they'd only recently divulged about how they got together. I still couldn't see any rhyme or reason to fighting through countless obstacles for love, only to have it leave you so powerless in the end. You were there, Gavril. You saw their selection. I swallowed, still unsure. Does it really work? How? He shrugged.
Yours is the third I've seen, and I can't tell you how it works, how a lottery can bring in a soulmate. Let me say this. Your grandfather was not exactly a man I admired, but he treated his queen as if she was the most important person to walk the planet, where he was harsh with others. He was generous with her. She got the best of him, which is more than I can say for... Well, he found the right woman.
I squinted, curious about what he was omitting. I knew Grandpa had been a strict ruler, but come to think of it, that was the only way I knew him. Dad didn't talk about him much as a husband or father, and I'd always been much more interested in hearing about Grandma.
And your dad? I don't think he had a clue what he was looking for. Honestly, I don't think your mother did either, but she was his match in every way. Everyone around them could see it long before they did.
Really? I asked. They didn't know. He made a face.
Truthfully, it was more that she didn't know.
He gave me a pointed look.
A family trait, it seems.
Gavril, you're one of the few people I can confess this to. It's not that I don't know what I'm looking for, it's that I wasn't ready to look.
Ah, I wondered.
But now I'm here.
And on your own, I'm afraid. If you choose to go through with this, and after yesterday, no one would blame you if you didn't. Only you can make such an important choice.
I nodded. I know, which is why this is so scary.
10 seconds,
the floor director called. Gavril patted my shoulder.
I'm here in whatever way I can be, Your Highness.
Thank you. I squared my shoulders in front of the camera, trying to look calm as the light began glowing red.
Good morning, people of Ilia.
I, Princess Edelyn Shreve, am here to address some recent events that have taken place in the royal family. I shall deliver the good news first. I tried to smile, really I did, but all I could think of was how abandoned I felt. My beloved brother, Prince Aaron Shreve, has married Princess Camille de Sauveterre of France. Though the timing of their wedding was a bit of a surprise, it in no way lessens our joy for the happy couple. I hope you will join me in wishing them both the happiest of marriages.
I paused. You can do this, Edelyn.
In sadder news, last night, my mother, America Shreve, Queen of Ilia, suffered a very serious heart attack.
I paused. The words felt like they had created a dam in my throat, making it harder and harder to speak.
She is in critical condition and is under constant medical supervision. Please pray.
I brought my hand to my mouth. I was going to cry. I was going to lose it on national television, and on top of everything Aaron had said about how people felt about me, appearing weak was the last thing I wanted.
I looked down. Mom needed me. Dad needed me. Maybe in a small way, even the country needed me. I couldn't disappoint them. Dabbing away the tears, I went on.
Please pray for her speedy recovery, as we all adore her and still depend on her guidance.
I breathed. It was the only way to get from any moment to the next. Breathe in, breathe out.
My mother held such great respect for the selection, which, as you all know, led to my parents' long and happy marriage. As such, I've decided to honor what I know would be her deepest wish and continue with my own selection. Due to the stress placed on our household in the last 24 hours, I think it wise to cut my suitors down to the elite. My father narrowed his field to 6 instead of 10 because of extenuating circumstances, and I have done the same. The following 6 gentlemen have been invited to stay on in the selection. Sir Gunnar Croft, Sir Kyle Woodwork, Sir Ian Cable, Sir Hale Garner, Sir Fox Wesley, and Sir Henry Jacopi.
These names were a strangely comforting thing. Like I knew how proud they were of this moment, and I could feel the glow of it even from a distance. It was almost done. They knew Aaron was gone, that my mother might die, and that the selection would carry on. Now came the news I was terrified to deliver. Thanks to Aaron, I understood exactly what my people thought of me. What kind of response would I receive?
With my mother in such a delicate state, my father, King Maxon Shreve, has chosen to remain by her side.
Here goes.
As such, he has named me regent until he feels fit to reclaim his title. I will make all decisions of state until further notice. It is with a heavy heart that I assume this role, but it gives me great joy to bring any peace to my parents. We will have more updates on all these matters as they become available. Thank you for your time, and good day.
The camera stopped rolling, and I moved just off the stage, sitting in one of the chairs that were usually reserved for my family. I felt queasy, and would have sat there for hours trying to regain my composure if I thought I could get away with it. But there was too much to do. The first thing on the list was to check on Mom and Dad again, then off to work. At some point today, I would have to meet with the elite as well. As I went to exit the studio, I stopped short because my path was blocked by a row of gentlemen. The first face I saw was Hale's. His expression lit up as he held out a flower.
For you.
I looked down the line and saw they all had flowers in their hands, some with roots still noticeably attached. All I could assume was that they had heard their names on the announcement, rushed from the men's parlor to the garden and come down here.
You idiots, I sighed.
Thank you,
I took Hale's flower and hugged him.
I know I said something every day,
he whispered.
But let me know if you need me to up it to 2, okay?
I held him a little tighter.
Thanks.
Ian was next, and though we'd only ever touched during those staged photos of our date, I found myself unable to refrain from embracing him.
I get the feeling you were coerced into this, I murmured.
I took mine from a vase in the hallway. Don't tell the staff on me.
I patted his back and he did the same to me.
She'll be okay,
he promised.
You all will.
Kyle had pricked his finger on a thorn and held his bleeding hand awkwardly away from my clothes as we hugged, which made me laugh and was perfect.
For smiles,
Henry said as I added his flower to my messy bouquet.
Good, good, I replied, and he laughed at me.
Even Eric had gotten me a flower. I smirked a bit as I took it.
This is a dandelion, I told him.
He shrugged.
I know. Some see a weed, some see a flower. Perspective.
I wrapped my arms around him and I could feel him looking at the others as I held him, seeming uncomfortable to be getting the same treatment as they had. Gunner swallowed, not able to say much, but held me gently before I moved on. Fox had 3 flowers in his hand.
I couldn't pick.
I smiled. They're all beautiful. Thanks. Fox's embrace was tight, like he needed the support more than the others did. I held on to him as I looked back at my elite.
No, this whole process made no sense. But I could see how it happened, how your heart could get swept up in the endeavor.
And that was my hope now, that somehow duty and love would overlap, and I'd find myself happy in the middle of it all. Chapter 2. Mom's hands felt so soft, almost papery in a way. The feeling made me think of how water smoothed out the edges of a stone. I smiled, thinking she must have been a very rough stone once upon a time.
Did you ever used to get it wrong? I asked. Say the wrong words, do the wrong things?
I waited for an answer, receiving nothing but the hum of the equipment and the beat of the monitor.
Well, you and Dad used to fight, so you must have been wrong sometimes.
I held her hand tighter, trying to warm it in mine. I made all the announcements. Now everyone knows about Aaron getting married and that you're a little indisposed at the moment. I cut the boys down to 6. I know that's a big cut, but Dad said it was okay and that he did that when it was his turn, so no one can get upset. I sighed. Regardless, I have a feeling people will still find a way to get upset with me. I blinked back tears, worried she'd sense how scared I was. The doctors believed that the shock of Aaron's departure was the catalyst for her current condition, though I couldn't help but wonder if I'd contributed to her stress daily, like drops of poison so small someone didn't realize they'd ingested something dangerous until it had overtaken them. Anyway, I'm off to run my first advisory board meeting as soon as Dad gets back. He says it shouldn't be too difficult. Honestly, I feel like General Ledger had the toughest job of anyone today, trying to get Dad to go eat, because he fought so hard to stay here with you. The General was insistent, though, and Dad finally caved. I'm glad he's here. General Ledger, I mean. It's kind of like having a backup parent. I held her hand a little tighter and leaned in, whispering.
Please don't make me need a backup parent, though, okay? I still need you. The boys still need you and Dad. He looks like he might fall apart if you leave. So when it's time to wake up, you've got to come back all right.
I waited for her mouth to twitch or her fingers to move. Anything to show that she could hear me. Nothing.
Just then, Dad tore through the door with General Ledger on his heels. I wiped at my cheeks, hoping no one would notice.
See ya, General Ledger said. She's stable. The doctors would come running if anything changed. All the same, I prefer to be here,
Dad said firmly. Dad, you were hardly gone 10 minutes. Did you even eat?
I ate. Tell her, Aspen.
General Ledger sighed.
We'll call it eating.
Dad shot him a look that would have been threatening to some, but only made the general smile.
I'll see if I can sneak some food in so you won't have to leave.
Dad nodded.
Look out for my girl. Of course.
General Ledger winked at me, and I stood up and followed him from the room, looking back at Mom just to check. Still asleep. In the hallway, he held out an arm for me.
You ready, my not-quite-queen?
I took it and smiled. No. Let's go. As we made our way to the boardroom, I nearly asked General Ledger if he would take me for another lap around the floor. The day felt so overwhelming already that I wasn't sure I could do this. Nonsense, I told myself. You've sat in on these meetings dozens of times. You've almost always thought the same things Dad has said. Yes, this is your first time leading it, but this was always waiting for you. And no one is going to be hard on you today, for goodness sake. Your mother just had a heart attack. I pulled the door open with purpose, General Ledger trailing behind me. I made sure to nod at the gentlemen as I passed. Sir Andrews, Sir Codley, Mr. Rasmus, and a handful of other men I'd known for years sat arranging their pens and paper. Lady Bryce looked proud as she watched me sweep around to my father's spot, as did the general when he settled into the place beside her. Good morning. I took my seat at the head of the table, gazing down at the thin folder in front of me. Thank goodness the agenda looked light today. How was your mother? Lady Bryce asked solemnly. I should have written this answer on a sign so I could stop repeating it. She's asleep still. I'm not sure how serious her condition is at the moment, but Dad is staying by her side, and we'll be sure to update everyone if there's any change. Lady Bryce smiled sadly.
I'm sure she'll be fine. She always was a tough one.
I tried to hide my surprise, but I didn't realize Lady Bryce knew my mother that well. In truth, I didn't know that much about Lady Bryce myself. But her tone was so sincere, I was happy to have her beside me at the moment. I nodded. Let's get through this so I can tell her my first day on the job was at least slightly productive. There were gentle chuckles around the room at that, but my smile quickly faded as I read the first page presented to me. I hope this is a joke, I said dryly.
No, Your Highness.
I turned my eyes to Sir Codley.
We feel this was a deliberate move to debilitate Ilya, and seeing as neither the king nor queen gave their consent, France has essentially stolen your brother. This marriage is treasonous, so we have no choice but to go to war.
Sir, I assure you this was not treasonous. Camille is a sensible girl. I rolled my eyes, hating to admit it. It's Aaron who's the romantic one, and I feel certain he urged her into this, not the other way around. I balled up the declaration of war, unwilling to consider it for another moment.
My lady, you cannot do that,
Sir Andrew insisted.
The relations between Ilya and France have been tense for years.
That is more on a personal level than a political one, Lady Bryce offered. Sir Codley waved his hand in the air.
Which makes this all much worse. Queen Daphne is brandishing more emotional suffering on the royal family under the assumption that we will not respond. This time we must. Tell her, General.
Lady Bryce shook her head in frustration as General Ledger spoke.
All I will say, Your Highness, is that we can have troops in the sky and on the ground within 24 hours if you command it. though I certainly wouldn't advise you to make that command.
Andrews huffed.
Leisure. Tell her the danger she's facing.
He shrugged.
I see no danger here. Her brother got married.
If anything, I questioned, shouldn't a wedding bring our two countries closer? Isn't that why princesses were married off for years?
But those were planned,
Codley stated in a tone that implied I was a little too naive for the conversation at hand. As was this, I countered. We all knew Aaron and Camille would wed one day. It simply happened sooner than expected.
She doesn't get it,
he muttered to Andrews. Sir Andrews shook his head at me.
Your Highness, this is treason.
Sir, this is love. Codley slammed a fist on the table.
No one will take you seriously if you do not act decisively.
There was a beat of silence after his voice stopped echoing around the room, and the entire table sat motionless. Fine, I responded calmly. You're fired. Codley laughed, looking at the other gentleman at the table.
You can't fire me, Your Highness.
I tilted my head, staring at him. I assure you I can. There's no one here who outranks me at the moment, and you are easily replaceable. Though she tried to be discreet, I saw Lady Bryce purse her lips together, clearly determined not to laugh. Yes, I definitely had an ally in her.
You need to fight, he insisted.
No, I answered firmly. A war would add unnecessary strain to an already stressful moment and would cause an upheaval between us and the country we are now bound to by marriage. We will not fight. Codley lowered his chin and squinted.
Don't you think you're being too emotional about this?
I stood, my chair screeching behind me as I moved. I'm going to assume that you aren't implying by that statement that I'm actually being too female about this, because yes, I am emotional. I strode around the opposite side of the table, my eyes trained on Codley. My mother is in a bed with tubes down her throat, my twin is now on a different continent, and my father is holding himself together by a thread. Stopping across from him, I continued. I have two younger brothers to keep calm in the wake of all this, a country to run, and six boys downstairs waiting for me to offer one of them my hand. Codley swallowed, and I felt only the tiniest bit of guilt for the satisfaction it brought me. So yes, I am emotional right now. Anyone in my position with a soul would be. And you, sir, are an idiot. How dare you try to force my hand on something so monumental on the grounds of something so small? For all intents and purposes, I am queen, and you will not coerce me into anything. I walked back to the head of the table. Officer Ledger?
Yes, Your Highness.
Is there anything on this agenda that can't wait until tomorrow?
No, Your Highness.
Good. You're all dismissed. And I suggest you all remember who's in charge here before we meet again. As soon as I finished speaking, everyone other than Lady Bryce and General Ledger rose and bowed. Rather deeply, I noted.
You were wonderful, Your Highness,
Lady Bryce insisted once the three of us were alone. I was. Look at my hand. I held it up. You're trembling. I pulled my fingers into a fist, determined to stop shaking. Everything I said was true, right? They can't force me to sign a declaration of war, can they?
No,
General Ledger assured me.
As you know, there have always been a few members of the board who have thought we should colonize in Europe. I think they saw this as an opportunity to take advantage of your limited experience. But you did everything right.
Dad wouldn't want to go to war. The banner of his reign has been peace.
Exactly.
General Ledger smiled.
He'd be proud of how you stood your ground. In fact, I think I might just go tell him.
Should I go too?
I asked, suddenly desperate to hear the little monitor announcing that Mom's heart was still there, still trying.
You have a country to run. I'll bring you an update as soon as I can.
Thank you, I called as he exited the room. Lady Bryce crossed her arms on the table. Feeling better? I shook my head. I knew this role would be a lot of work. I've done my share of it and watched my dad do 10 times what I did. But I was supposed to have more time to get ready. To start the job now because my mom might die is too much. And within 5 minutes of being responsible, I have to make a decision about war? I'm not prepared for this.
Okay, first things first. You don't have to be perfect yet. This is temporary. Your mom will get better. Your dad will come back to work, and you will go back to learning with this great experience under your belt. Think of this time as an opportunity.
I let out a long breath. Temporary. Opportunity. Okay. Besides, it's not all completely up to you. This is what your advisors are for. Granted, they weren't much help today, but we're here so you aren't navigating without a map.
I bit my lip, thinking. Okay. So, what do I do now?
First, follow through and fire Codley. It will show the others you mean what you say. I do feel somewhat bad for him, but I think your father only kept him around to play devil's advocate and help him see all sides of an issue. Trust me, he won't be sorely missed,
she confessed dryly.
Second, consider this time a period of hands-on training for your reign. Start surrounding yourself with people you know you can trust.
I sighed. I feel like they've all just left me. She shook her head.
Look closer. You probably have friends in places you never expected.
Again, I found myself seeing her in a new light. She'd stayed in her role longer than anyone. She knew what Dad would decide in most situations, and she was, at the very least, another woman in the room. Lady Bryce stared into my eyes, forcing me to focus.
Who do you know will always be honest with you? Who will be by your side, not because you're royal, but because you're you?
I smiled, absolutely positive of where I was going once I left this room. Chapter 3
Me? You? Are you sure?
I grabbed Nina by the shoulders.
You always tell me the truth, even if I'm not excited to hear it. You've put up with the worst of me. And you're too clever to spend your days folding my laundry.
She beamed, blinking to quell her tears.
A lady in waiting? What does that even mean?
Well, it's a mix of being a companion, which you already are, and then helping with the less glamorous side of my job, like scheduling appointments and making sure I remember to eat.
I think I can handle that, she said, smiling.
Oh, and? I held up my hands, preparing her for probably the most exciting part of the job. It means you don't have to wear that uniform anymore, so go change.
Nina chuckled. I don't know that I have anything appropriate, but I'll make sure to get something together for tomorrow.
Nonsense. Just go through my closet.
She gaped at me.
I can't.
You can and you must. I pointed to the wide doors.
Get dressed, meet me in the office, and we'll make it through whatever comes one day at a time.
She nodded, and as if we'd done it 1,000 times, she threw her arms around me.
Thank you.
Thank you, I insisted.
I won't let you down.
I pulled back, watching her.
I know. By the way, your first job is to pick a new maid for me.
Not a problem.
Excellent. I'll see you soon.
I swept from the room, feeling better knowing I had people on my side. General Ledger would be my line to Mom and Dad, Lady Bryce would be my chief advisor,
and Nina would help me shoulder the workload. It had been less than a day, and I already understood why Mom thought I'd need a partner. And I still intended to find one. It just needed a little time to figure out how. That afternoon, I paced worriedly as I waited for Kyle outside the men's parlor. Of all my relationships with the Selected, ours felt the most complicated, and yet the easiest place to start.
"Hey,"
he said, coming to embrace me. I couldn't help smiling, thinking about how if he'd tried that a month ago, I'd have called the guards on him.
"How are you doing?"
I paused. "It's funny. You're the only one who's asked." We stepped apart. "I'm okay, I think. At least, I am as long as I'm busy. The second things slow down, I'm a ball of nerves. Dad's a wreck, and it's killing me that Aaron hasn't come back. I thought he would for Mom, but he hasn't even called. Shouldn't he at least have done that?" I swallowed, knowing I was getting too worked up. Kyle took my hand.
"Okay, let's think about this. He flew to France and got married in one day. There has to be a ton of official paperwork and other stuff to sort through, and there's a chance he hasn't even heard what happened."
I nodded. "You're right. And I know he cares. He left me a letter, and it was too honest for me to question that."
"See? There you go. And last night your dad looked like he was 2 seconds away from needing to be checked into the hospital wing himself. Being with your mom and monitoring her probably gives him a feeling of control when there's absolutely none. She's made it through the worst, and she's always been a fighter. Remember when that one ambassador came?"
I smirked. "You mean the one from the Paraguay-Argentina Union?"
"Yes,"
he exclaimed.
"I can still picture it perfectly. He was so rude to everyone, falling down drunk by noon 2 days in a row. And your mom finally grabbed him by the ear and dragged him out the front door."
I shook my head. "I do. I also remember the endless phone calls afterward trying to smooth things over with their president." Kyle brushed that detail away.
"Forget that. Just remember, your mother doesn't let things happen to her. When something tries to ruin her life, she drags it into the street."
I smiled. "True." We stood there, quiet for a moment, and it was pleasant and still. I'd never been so grateful. "I'm busy the rest of today, but maybe we could spend some time together tomorrow night?" He nodded.
"Of course."
"There's a lot to talk about." His eyebrows knit together.
"Like what?"
We both turned at the same time, noting the figure in our periphery.
"Excuse me, Your Highness,"
the guard said with a bow.
"But you have a visitor."
"A visitor?" He nodded, giving me no information as to who it might be. I sighed. "Fine. I'll get in touch later, okay?" Kyle gave my hand a quick squeeze.
"Sure. Let me know if you need anything."
I smiled as I left him, knowing that he meant that. In the back of my mind, I felt certain all the young men in that room would rush to my side if I needed them to, and that was a small silver lining on an otherwise dreary day. I rounded the stairs, trying to guess at who was here. If it had been family, they'd have been brought to a room, and if it was a governor or some other official visitor, they'd have sent up a card. Who was so important that they couldn't even be announced? As I descended to the first floor, the answer to my question stood there, his bright smile making my breath catch. Merid Ilya hadn't set foot in the palace in years. The last time I'd laid eyes on him, he was a gangly preteen who hadn't quite mastered conventional conversation. But his round cheeks had turned into a jawline sharp enough to cut, and his stringy limbs had filled out, hitting the seams of his suit with perfect precision. He held my gaze as I approached, and even though his hands were full with an overflowing basket, He bowed and smiled as if he was completely unencumbered.
Your Highness, he said. I'm sorry to come unannounced, but as soon as we heard about your mother, we felt we had to do something, so...
He held out the basket toward me. It was full of gifts, flowers, thin books, jars of soup with ribbons around the lids, and even a few bakery items that looked so good it was hard not to take one for myself. Married, I said, a greeting, a question, and an admonition all at once. This is above and beyond, all things considered. He shrugged.
Disagreements don't mean a loss of compassion. Our queen is sick, and this was the least we could do.
I smiled, moved by his sudden appearance. I motioned to a guard. Take this to the hospital wing, please. He took the gift basket and I turned my focus back to Merid. Your parents didn't want to come. He shoved his hands into his pockets and grimaced.
They were afraid the visit would seem more political than personal.
I nodded. Understandable. But please tell them not to worry about that in the future. They're still welcome here. Merid sighed.
They didn't think so. Not after their... exit.
I pressed my lips together, remembering it all so clearly. August Ilya and my father had worked together closely after my grandparents died, trying to dissolve the castes as quickly as they could. When August complained that change wasn't happening fast enough, Dad pulled rank and told him to respect his plan. When Dad couldn't quite erase the stigma of being in the lower castes, August said he needed to get his spoiled ass out of the palace and into the streets. Dad had always been a patient man, and from what I remembered of August, he was always on edge. In the end, there was a big fight, and August and Georgia packed their things, including their bashful son, and left in a hurricane of hurt and anger. I'd heard Merid's voice once or twice on the radio since then, giving political commentary or business advice. But it was strange now, having that voice sync up to the movements of his lips and seeing him smile so easily when I mostly remembered him slouched over himself when he was younger. Honestly, I don't understand why our fathers haven't spoken recently. You've certainly seen the issues with the post-caste discrimination we've been trying to quell. I thought one of them might break and seek out the other. It's past being a point of pride anymore. Merid extended an arm.
Perhaps we could walk and talk.
I linked my arm through his and we began moving down the hall.
How is it going so far?
I shrugged. As best it can under the circumstances.
I'd like to tell you to look on the bright side, but it might be hard to find one.
So far, all I can think of is that I'm helping my parents.
True. And who knows, you might be able to make some serious changes while you're in office. Like all the post-caste issues. Our parents couldn't get it right, but maybe you could.
That thought comforted me less than he intended. I didn't hope to be in control long enough to make any changes at all. I'm not quite sure I'm capable of that.
Well, Your Highness.
Please, Merid, it's Edlin. You've known me since before I was born. He smirked.
Very true. Still, you are regent right now, and it feels wrong not to address you properly.
And what should I call you?
Nothing but a loyal subject. I'd like to offer any help I can in this tense time. And I know the dissolution of the castes wasn't as clean as you all hoped, not even in the beginning. I've spent years lending my ear to the public. I think I've heard them very clearly, and if my commentary would be useful, please let me know.
I raised my eyebrows as I considered his words. I knew a lot more about the lives of commoners these days, thanks to the Selected, but an expert on public opinion might be a perfect tool to have in my arsenal. And even if I didn't have great ambitions for my short time on the throne, something like this might show my people I cared, and that was critical. especially considering what Aaron had said in his letter. It hit me like a punch every time I remembered his words. But I knew he wouldn't have told me that the people despised me if he hadn't thought it would serve some good, even though he left. I trusted that. Thank you, Merid. If I could do anything to ease the stress that this situation has brought to my father, it would be a huge blessing. When he's ready to come back to work, I'd like the country to be the calmest he's seen it in years. I'll be in touch. He pulled a card out of his pocket and handed it to me.
That's my personal number. Call anytime.
I smiled. Will your parents be upset that you're helping me? Isn't this fraternizing with the enemy?
No, no,
he said, his tone light.
Our parents had the same goal. They simply had different methods of reaching it. And now, with your mother unwell, you shouldn't have to worry so much about things that are fixable, and the country's morale certainly is, now more than ever. I think our parents will approve of us working together.
Let's hope, I said. Far too many things have been breaking lately. Some mending would do me good. Chapter 4. I slipped into the bath, noting there was no lavender, no bubbles, no anything to sweeten the water. Eloise was quiet and fast, but she was no Nina. I sighed. It didn't matter, I supposed, since this was little more than a small space where at last I could stop pretending I knew what I was doing. I curled my knees to my chest, finally free to weep. What was I going to do? Aaron wasn't here to guide me anymore, and I worried I'd make mistake after mistake without him. And why hadn't he called yet? Why wasn't he on the first flight home? What would I do if they took the tubes out of Mom's throat and she couldn't breathe on her own? I suddenly realized that even though I'd never thought of marriage and children in a specific and personal way, I'd always envisioned her dancing at my wedding and cooing over my firstborn. What if she wasn't there to do that? How was I supposed to step into Dad's shoes? Today had worn me down to the bone. I couldn't imagine doing this all day, every day for the next few weeks, let alone the years I'd have to do it when I truly inherited the throne. And how was I going to choose a husband? Who was the best choice? Who would the public approve of the most? Was that even a fair question to ask? Or the right one? I wiped my eyes with the heel of my hand like a child and wished I could go back to being blissfully unaware of how much bad could pile up in a single day. I had power and no idea how to use it. I was a ruler who didn't know how to lead. I was a twin who was on her own. I was a daughter with missing parents. I had a half dozen suitors and wasn't sure how to be in love. The tension constricting around my heart would be enough to overwhelm anyone. I rubbed at the ache in my chest, wondering if that was how it all started for Mom. I sat up, sloshing the water, pushing the thought from my head. You're fine. She's fine. You just have to keep going. I got dressed and was almost ready to turn in for the night when I heard a timid knock at the door. Edie? Someone called. Austin? He poked his head in, with Caden right behind him, and I rushed over to them. Are you two all right?
We're okay, Caden assured me. And we're not scared or anything.
Not at all, Austin added.
But we haven't heard any news about Mom, and we thought maybe you would know something.
I smacked myself in the head. I'm sorry. I should have told you what was going on. I cursed myself, thinking of how I'd just spent 20 minutes in a bath instead of taking the time to find my brothers. She's recovering. I tried to choose my words carefully. She's being kept asleep so she can heal. You know, Mom,
If she was awake, she'd want to chase after us to make sure we were doing everything we're supposed to do. This way, she'll get enough rest so that she'll be healthy when she wakes up. Oh. Austin's shoulders lifted, and I could see that as much as all this was getting to me, it was even harder on them. What about Aaron? Caden picked at a hangnail, a thing I'd never seen him do. No word yet, but I'm sure it's just because he's getting settled in. After all, he's a married man. Caden's expression showed he wasn't satisfied with that answer. Do you think he'll come back? I took a deep breath. Let's not worry about that tonight. I'm sure he'll call soon, and he'll be able to tell us everything. For now, all you two need to know is your brother is happy, your mom is going to be okay, and I have everything under control. All right? They smiled. All right. Austin's expression went from perfectly fine to completely distraught in seconds, and his lip began to tremble. It's my fault, isn't it? What's your fault? I got on one knee in front of him. Mom, it's my fault. She always told me to calm down a little more, and then she'd run her hand through her hair like she was worn out. It's my fault. I made her too tired. At least you didn't bother her over school so much, Caden said quietly. I was always bugging her for books and better tutors, and making her answer questions when she had other stuff to do. I took up all her time. So we were all blaming ourselves. Perfect. Austin, don't think that ever, I insisted, pulling him in for a hug. Mom is a queen. If anything, you were the least stressful part of her life. Yes, it's hard to be a mother, but she always had us to run to if she needed a laugh. And who's easily the funniest of the four of us? Me. His voice was weak, but he did smile a little as he wiped his nose. Exactly. And Caden, do you think Mom would rather you ask her a dozen questions or have you wander through life with the wrong answers? He fidgeted with his fingers some more as he thought it over. She'd want me to come to her. So there you go. Let's be honest. We're a pretty intense bunch, yeah? Austin laughed and Caden's expression brightened. But whatever we put her through, it was welcome. She'd rather have forced me to learn my penmanship than never have had a daughter. She'd rather have been your living encyclopedia than not connect with us. She'd rather have begged you to sit still than have had only three children. None of this is because of us, I promised. I waited for them to turn and run, to get past showing this tiny chink in their armor. But they didn't budge. I sighed to myself, knowing what they were hoping for and realizing I was prepared to lose some much-needed sleep on their behalf. Do you want to stay here tonight? Austin bolted over to my bed. Yeah! I shook my head. What was I going to do with these boys? I crawled into bed, and Caden pressed himself against my back as Austin rested his head on the pillow across from me. I realized that the bathroom light was still on, but I let it go. We needed a little light at the moment. It's not the same without Aaron, Caden said quietly. Austin pulled his arms in close, bundling himself up. Yeah, it doesn't feel right. I know. But don't worry. We'll find a new normal. You'll see. Somehow, for them, I would make that happen. Chapter 5.
Good morning, Your Highness.
Good morning, I replied to the butler. Strong coffee, please, and whatever the chef has prepared for the elite is fine.
Of course.
He returned with blueberry pancakes and sausage links and a hard-boiled egg sliced in half. I picked at my meal while I skimmed the papers. There was news of bad weather in one area, and some speculation over who I might marry somewhere else. But in general, It looked like the entire nation had lost the will to do much more than worry about Mom. I was grateful. I had been positive the country would revolt when I was named regent. Part of me was still worried that if I gave the slightest indication that I might fail, their hatred would slam into me without mercy.
"Good day today?"
someone called. Not someone. I would have recognized Henry's greeting even in the grave. I lifted my head to smile and wave at him and Eric. I kind of loved that Henry was impervious to the sadness hanging over the palace. And Eric seemed to be the hand that guided his charge back down to earth, calm and kind, regardless of what happened around him. Austin and Caden walked in with Kyle, their heads together as they moved. Kyle was trying to make them smile. I could read it in his body language. And for their part, they gave him small, tight-lipped grins. Ian entered with Hale and Fox, and I was pleasantly surprised to see him finally interacting with some of the others. Gunner trailed behind them as if forgotten. I'd kept him in the elite because I couldn't shake how his poem had made me laugh. But beyond that, I hardly knew him. I was going to have to try harder with him. With all of them. My brothers sat down together at their normal places, more subdued than usual. Seeing our family table so empty sent a pang of sadness through my whole body. That type of sorrow, the quiet, lonely kind, can take over so quickly that a person could miss it. I could see it trying to creep into my brothers now, in the way they held their heads a little lower, probably not even aware they were doing it. Austin? He peeked over at me and I could feel the elite's eyes on us. Do you remember the time Mom made us pancakes? Caden started laughing, turning to the others to tell the story. Mom used to cook a lot growing up, and every once in a while, she'd make food for us, just for fun. The last time she tried was maybe 4 years ago? I smirked. She knew she was out of practice, but she wanted to make us blueberry pancakes. The thing was, she wanted to arrange the berries in them so they made stars and flowers and faces. But she left the batter on the griddle so long to put the berries in that when she flipped the pancakes, they were all burned. Austin laughed.
I do remember. I remember the crunchy pancakes.
I heard chuckles from the elite.
You were so bad, though, you didn't even try one,
Caden accused. I nodded shamefully. It was self-preservation.
They were pretty good, actually. Crispy, but good.
Austin took a bite of one of the pancakes in front of him.
They make these ones seem weak.
I heard one loud chuckle and saw that Fox was shaking his head.
My dad's an awful cook, too,
he said, projecting his voice.
We grill a lot, and he's always saying it's charred.
Fox lifted his fingers to quote the word.
What he actually means is burned, yeah?
Gunner asked.
Yep.
My father?
Eric said timidly. I was surprised he wanted to join in the conversation, and I found myself leaning my head on my elbow, drawn in.
He and my mother have this one dish they make for each other, and it requires frying. The last time he made it, he left the room while it was cooking, and the smoke was so bad they had to move in with me for 2 days while they aired the house out. Do you have a spare room?
Kyle asked. Eric shook his head.
No, so my living room became my bedroom, which was a treat when my mom woke up at 6 and decided to start cleaning.
Gunner laughed in agreement.
Why do parents always do that? And always on the one day you can sleep in.
I squinted. Can't you just ask them not to? Fox laughed wildly.
Maybe you can, Your Highness.
I was very aware that I was being teased, but I knew it was all in good fun. Hale spoke up.
Speaking of which, is anyone else worried about being incredibly spoiled if you lose and have to go home after living like this?
He gestured to the table and room.
Not me,
Kyle answered flatly, and the boys erupted.
The room dissolved into stories and comments, the tail end of every sentence sparking a new memory from someone else. The conversation grew so loud, the laughter so boisterous, that no one noticed the lone maid walking down the center of the floor. She curtsied and bent her face close to mine.
Your mother is awake.
A flurry of emotions washed over me. A dozen feelings all practically unidentifiable, except for the common sensation of joy.
Thank you.
I rushed from the room, too afraid to wait for Caden and Austin. My feet flew down the halls and I burst into the hospital wing, only pausing to brace myself once I reached her door. As I slowly opened it, I was aware of the heart monitor, still recording every beat, and how the pace ticked up a notch when our eyes met.
Mom,
I whispered. Dad looked over his shoulder, smiling, though his eyes were red and brimming with tears.
Edlin,
Mom whispered, holding out her hand. I went to her, the tears in my eyes blurring my vision so much I could hardly make her out.
Hey, Mom, how are you?
I wrapped my fingers around hers, trying not to grip too tightly.
It hurts a little,
which meant it must hurt a lot.
Well, you just take your time feeling better, okay? No rush.
How are you?
I stood up taller, hoping to convince her. I've got everything under control, and Caden and Austin are doing great. I'm sure they're right behind me, and I have a date tonight.
Good job, Edie.
Dad grinned and turned his head back to Mom.
See, darling, I'm not even needed out there. I can stay here with you.
Aaron?
Mom asked, taking a deep breath afterward.